Oh, Roo, good morning. Do you know what I love? It's already Wednesday. How are you?
We love those short weeks. Yeah. Absolutely beautiful. Yeah.
Hey, Roo, just before we rip into the show and talk about what's on, you know, we're a close-knit team here. We try to help each other.
Yeah.
Can we go back to Friday? You and I just happened to walk past Alice the Wag's desk.
Yeah.
It was like walking into, I thought I was in Romeo's supermarket.
I thought I was in an IGA.
How much food was on her desk? Just, can you run me through? Do you remember what the, I remember there were marshmallows.
There was marshmallows.
Chocolate
there
biscuits.
Was lollies. There was little biscuits.
Pringles.
There
was peanut paste with a
little
spoon.
Chocolate
she
bars.
Likes to eat peanut paste by the spoon straight out of the jar.
A little bit of fruit.
Likes to eat Milo straight out of the jar. There was a tin of Milo.
Couple of Vegemites.
Yeah.
With finger marks all through them.
Yeah. Can you remember what else there was? Anyway, the desk was packed.
A few tins of tuna and stuff like that.
That's right. So a couple of healthy things. So we sort of looked at Alice and said, look, you know, you're really doing the right thing. And she's talking about getting her summer body ready for the bikini or whatever. She's come in this morning, Roo, and said, no, that's it. Right. $10 goes into a jar every time I eat something bad.
Yeah.
$10.
The jar's going to be full.
How much money she got?
What a big jar.
So we're meant to help her, apparently. And that's why we're talking about it now, because this is helping
her. That's right. Name and shame.
Outing her publicly, we're helping her, right?
We're good teammates, Dits.
We are. What's happening today, Roo?
There's a fair bit happening today, Dits. Every Wednesday we have the metros on, you know that. So we have the metros.
Hey, there's a new bikini trend, and this is happening at Glenelg already.
Oh, you're all over the bikinis.
No, someone wrote in and complained. Every girl, apparently, is just walking around with their bum cheeks hanging out. Apparently, you can't buy a bikini for summer coming up that doesn't have your bottom just hanging out.
Are we enjoying this trend? Yeah, Alice says every time you say bikinis from now on, you have to say $10. You have to put $10 in the jar.
What, I sound like an old perv, do I? Actually, I've bought Kate a pair for Christmas. She doesn't know you.
Oh, she loves you buying clothes, Dits. Yeah. Good idea.
Yeah.
Hey, Marion Council, what's happening down there with the Cove Footy Club?
Right, they had their meeting last night. The CEO of Marion Council will join us later on this morning. And then we'll hear from the football club as well. So we'll hear from both sides about what happened down there. Big, big morning coming up here with Roo and Dits on Triple M. Ruined. It's here on Triple M. Big, big day this, you know, October the 9th. How's this? John Lennon, birthday today. Sharon Osbourne's birthday today. And what about this? In 1973, Elvis and Priscilla divorced after 6 years.
Oh.
Massive day.
Triple M. Ruined Dits. Top three things you need to know.
Chasing around Elvis. That would have been an interesting marriage, chasing around Elvis for 6 years. Bloody hell.
Yeah, that'd keep you fit. No wonder she looks so good. Now, Roo, in the recent times, a couple of more senior Australians have come out and said, right, we've had enough political correctness. We're going back to the old days. And I'm going to say what I think. I mean, I think Sam Newman was one of them and Sam Kekovich and people like that, which is probably predictable.
Yep.
Ida Buttrose is a lady that I think all of us respect greatly. She's now the chairperson of the ABC, and she's come out and said this.
We don't talk to each other the way we used to. Even in the workplace, the way men and women used to talk to one another, which was quite fun, I think, doesn't exist today. I think Australians are essentially good-humoured people, and we like to josh each other in the workplace, and we should be able to do that without anyone being offended or sensitive about it. We're far too sensitive.
Far too sensitive, she says. We've lost our larrikin spirit. She wants the old larrikins back.
Was Ida the one that worked under Kerry Packer?
Yes. So she would have heard all sorts of things. She's very close to John Singleton. I mean, people like that. So she would have heard just about everything.
Yep. I think, you got to have fun and you got to get the balance right. And at the moment, a lot of people are too scared to say anything, aren't they? To get labelled sexist, racist, whatever.
What else is making news, Roo?
Interesting numbers out about the AFL Grand Final. Not interesting if you're the AFL, but... the crowd average for the AFL Grand Final, 2.19 million. That is 20% down, Dits. 20% is a huge drop. Now, that's after the home and away season was up 7% per week. So, obviously, GWS being in the Grand Final, they don't bring hardly any supporters to the table from Sydney, whereas when Sydney played in a Grand Final, I think there were 700,000 alone just from New South Wales. So, and no WA, no Adelaide, you know, there's supporters. So, it's probably a bit of a flop there.
But
20%
can I offer you an alternative view here, Roy? I always, when it comes to Melbourne Cup and AFL Grand Final, I always dispute the figures, and I'll tell you why. How do they measure how many people are standing in the Alma Hotel, for example? How many people are at functions right around the nation? Like, we all know, Melbourne Cup, it is the race that stops the nation, if I can draw an analogy. And you know there are hotels and function rooms right around Australia full, and they'll come out and say, oh, 2.1 million watched it. Well, but it's more like, buddy, 16 million.
Well, whatever the number is, they use a consistent measure each year, I'm sure, on how to do it, and it's down 20% from this year to last year. And the NRL Grand Final, which was a cracking game, totally the opposite of the AFL Grand Final, they were at 1.86 million, which was the first time under 2 million for a very, very, very long time. So a bit of a sign. I don't know if it's free-to-air, if it's just the teams that were in it, and or if it's we'll see what happens next year, but it's an alarming drop for the AFL.
Yeah, will there be a reaction? Is it a reaction to what the AFL's done to the game? Are people saying
it was up 7% all year, so that goes against that.
Yep, okay, no, you make a fair point. Hey, still on sport, I mentioned the Melbourne Cup. Do you see where the boss of Sydney Racing has come out? Boy, has he caused a stir. He says to Melbourne, you need to shift your cup date. Now, last time I looked, I think it's only been 142 years that the Melbourne Cup was on the first Tuesday of November.
Yeah.
And he reckons they should change. And yeah, they're really going to listen to him too, aren't they?
They will not be doing anything in regards to that. I think first Tuesday in November, always a great date. So, Sydney, worry about your own racing, I think.
Yes,
hey,
right.
This is one. This is an interesting one. They say alcohol can ruin your looks. Now,
no,
they're saying that there's
I
such
would say it improves your looks.
There's it can, other people's looks, out of your eyes that aren't working
properly.
Right, probably.
You're talking about your own look. Right, right.
There's a thing called wine face. Which I'm sure I've seen this before.
Yeah.
maybe Monday to Friday. Including you get fine lines, dry patches, and a little bit of dullness.
Right. Look, which university is researching this?
Not the wine drinking university, one. This is from the Annoyed Wives Foundation.
Oh, is it? Right. Yeah. No, because I was going to say, everything I partake in, I'm doing it all in the name of research, Roo. You've got to help these people with their studies.
Yeah, so anyway, it's old wine face is such a thing. So
right,
look out for
stop looking at me when you say that. Now, 6:15 it is, Roo and Dits here on Triple M. Statman, not far away, you can win a Google Home Mini. Roo, what's the story with the injury to Alex Keith?
There's not a big story. He had an operation at the end of the year, but you remember he missed quite a few games with a stress fracture, and they're trying to manage him through it, but decided to have an operation at the end of the year, but he'll be back full training prior to Christmas.
All right. The story is that Port Adelaide's Dougal Howard is open to being involved in a trade for Orazio Fantasia, which I keep saying to you, Roo, I don't know why. I don't know what's going on here.
Well, probably need to speak to someone down at Port Adelaide Dits and
find
out what's going on.
And no one will tell me anything. So I don't know. Yeah, this is a mystery to me. I reckon you've got to keep this bloke. But anyway, I could be wrong.
Sounds like he's heading somewhere, Dits.
All right. Now, what about the trade of Tim Kelly from Geelong to the West Coast, Roo? What do you know?
Well, let's have a listen to Damien Barrett talk about it. This could be one of the biggest trades of all time.
The Cats wanted as many as 3 early selections for Kelly.
For Kelly?
For Kelly.
Well, that would make him then, Lotto, the most prized transfer under this current system.
Yeah. Oh, so looking at what Judd went for, and it was pick 3, pick 20, and Josh Kennedy thrown in. So it'd be as big as that, and he's not Chris Judd.
So what's going to happen, I think, Dits, West Coast have got pick 14, so that's a first-round pick. They're going to give next year's first-round pick, and then they've got a pick in the 20s and a pick in the 30s. So that is a huge give-up by West Coast, and Geelong are going to have a stack of draft picks. So they might go shopping as well with all those draft picks. Who knows?
All right, now, a story broke yesterday that the Bombers were chasing Magpie big man Mason Cox. They've now denied that. They're saying that's not true.
Yeah, this time of year, Dits, we need a, can I say bullshit
detector?
This time of the morning, a lie detector at this time of the morning, because this time of the year, it will be in overdrive, okay?
All right. Let's talk cricket, shall we? Marcus Stoinis, a shock omission from Australia's T20 squad for the matches against Sri Lanka. The son of Craig McDermott, Ben McDermott, comes into the side, so that's good news. See the young fella get around.
Sun rule.
Yep. South African great Dale Steyn is coming to play for the Melbourne Stars in the Big Bash, so that'll add some interest. And Jeff Fenner. Panic is out of surgery. He's over there in Bangkok. You would have heard that he's in strife with pneumonia and all sorts of other issues. He spent 5 hours under the knife. So good luck to Jeff Fenech. Yeah. Hey, Roo, Aruba is still to come later on this morning. We still only have the one name out of the backseat of your car. Who are the other three celebrities in Roo's car? We'll get to that, well, not too far away. Someone could win $5,000 here on Triple M. Roo and it's here on Triple M. Roo, you were driving away on the weekend and you told me a bit of a story about a near miss with a caravan. What happened?
Well, I was driving back from Port Augusta on Monday, so always a busy day on the roads on the Monday of a long weekend, and a lot of people coming home from holidays, from their shacks or, you know, for a week away. And I was just going past in an overtaking lane and, you know, just cruising past a bloke driving a Range Rover with a caravan behind, and just cruising past, had a few kids in the car, and the bloke just pulled out as I was alongside. You know, sometimes when you overtake, you don't, for whatever reason, look behind to see if anyone's coming. Yeah. You just look forwards.
Yep.
And it was just an honest mistake by this fella, but he basically nearly sideswiped me off the road. And I had to sort of speed forward and get out the way and get in front of him. And then Sarah was behind in her Tarago, and she saw it unfold and obviously wasn't too comfortable with it. So she obviously didn't want to overtake the bloke again because she thought he'd do it to her. So she ended up a fair way behind me on the way home.
So but, she stayed behind him for 400 k's.
Exactly right. But... caravan drivers and people driving boats and stuff like that, you do see some people on the roads that look like they've got no idea what they're doing.
Seriously. Well, I was driving in this morning and this caller rang into Triple M.
I do believe everyone that tows a caravan should have a truck license. I drive a truck and I have got a caravan, but after coming back from up north away for a long weekend, I nearly got hit that many times by people overtaking me. Vans nearly wiping... Yeah. Because they can't control their van, they just fishtail everywhere. They overtake when they shouldn't overtake.
Yeah, look, I can feel for that bloke, and it does happen a lot out there, Dits. I'm not sure if you need a truck license or not. I don't even know what you need to get a truck license. I've got a motorbike license and a car license, but and maybe it's just.
Yeah, but you've towed a caravan. Who taught you how to do it?
Me.
Well, there you go.
Yeah, I know.
So
that,
what were you like the first time you went out?
No, I was fine because I've grown up driving trailers on the fruit property and I can reverse and do all that with boats and stuff like that. But a lot of people in the city who have never reversed, I mean, could you reverse a boat?
No.
There you go. There needs to be some little bit of training in between just to show that you can do it. You know how you go for your car and you got to learn how to reverse park?
Mm-hmm.
Well, maybe you should have to do that with trailers as well because...
Well, that caller went on to say he stays at a lot of caravan parks. They always go for holidays. He has to help so many people reverse. They get out and he gets in their car and reverses the caravan onto the block for them.
Oh, there'd be some horror stories of people taking out vans for the first time because I even remember the first time I took it out and... As I said, I've had a fair bit of experience with it, but it is intimidating. It's a big thing. You're towing behind, and you're blocked. Your vision's blocked so much differently, and you know all of a sudden, you know, instead of just catering for you know a 3 or 4 meter car, you know it's a 10 meter distance. It's significantly different, and you are putting other people at risk if you get it wrong. If people
I've never towed one.
Pressure.
So if you're doing 110 on the way to Port Augusta on the weekend, if you're towing a big caravan behind a Land Cruiser, what speed are you doing?
110.
Are you? It's not less?
A lot of people do less. There's a lot of people who do 80 or 85. You do whatever you're comfortable with. But, so it's an interesting one. There's so many different road rules out there for, you know, that a lot of people get angry at it. So there's no doubt about that.
Well, it's holiday time right now. A lot of people listening this morning would tow caravans. There are truck drivers. Should we have a special license and maybe a truck license to tow caravans? What do you think? 133353. What's your experience with this? Because, Roo, and the ones I really shudder at, and we've seen it on TV a lot, the ones that get a sway up. What do you do when your caravan starts swaying?
That's right. You panic.
I know. What should the rules be? 133353. To anyone out there, truck drivers, caravan towers, what do you think? Because, gee, we see some terrible things out there. 133353, ruined it's on Triple M. Ruin Dits here on Triple M. Ru, we're talking about people that tow caravans. Should they have a truck licence? What do we think?
Yeah, let's go to Turingi. G'day, David.
Yeah, g'day, fellas. How are you?
Yeah, good,
very
mate.
Well.
Yeah, look, I used to run a caravan park, and the amount of people that can't reverse their trailers, let alone even drive half of them, they get into a big car for the first time and think it's all good, but definitely they need some sort of license, because a lot of people don't realise that when a truck overtakes a caravan, the suction of the truck can pull the caravan and start it to sway, and
ooh.
Yeah, she's can be pretty bad, especially when you get the big 26-footers and...
Yep.
Stuff like that.
Yep, that's no fun.
What about the pressure of parking a caravan in a car park when you got 50 people sitting there drinking their cups of tea or their fifth beer or a glass of red, and they're all watching? The pressure is on to execute the car, the park with everyone watching, isn't it, Dave?
Yeah, absolutely. Most people come into the caravan park and ask to park on grass under the shade with no trees around them and a drive-through site. So, yeah, they just...
That's the easiest way.
Yeah, that's the easiest way. They don't really know how to do it. On average, during the summer months, I probably used to park about 75% of the caravan.
Really?
Yeah, so I used to, day before Christmas, I used to probably spend a good 5 or 6 hours reversing caravans in.
Good on you, Dave. Thanks for your call. Let's go to Evanston Park. G'day, Andrew.
How you going, fellas? All right?
Good, Andrew.
Yeah, mate. Yeah, I tow a 23-foot caravan around, and, mate, I don't have any dramas, you know, towing it or parking, and I don't really think you need another licence or any sort of training to do it myself.
But, Andrew, what about when you first started? I mean, did you just pick it up naturally, or were you a bit rusty at first?
No, well... Like anyone, you start off with a smaller caravan,
yep,
and you sort of just get used to it.
Have you ever clipped anything with it?
No, mate. Nah, never. Fingers crossed. It's all gone pretty well.
Wow.
I don't sit on 110 km either. I don't even. We've got the roads for it over here when you're towing big vans.
Okay.
So what speed do you do with your van?
Normally around the 95 to 100 at the max.
Yep.
Plenty, and just courteous to everyone else on the road.
Yeah, all right. Good on you. A bit of common sense.
Slow and steady wins the race.
Yeah, good on you, Andrew. More calls in just a moment. 133353. Drew and Dits here on Triple M. We're talking about towing caravans. Should you have a truck licence? How safe is it out there?
Yeah, let's go to the Riverland. G'day, Smithy.
How you going, Ru?
Good, Smithy. Really?
Oh, just... catching no yabbies, mate, and having a ball out here on the road with the truck. last Friday, man, I could not believe I was ready to give it in. It was worse than Easter out there between Adelaide and the Riverland. His caravan, as I seem to think, I don't know, they sit on their 90 km and us guys can get them around them, no worries, on the open road. As soon as they get to a three-laner, they think, oh, well, we can go to 100 km now, and us blokes out there cannot get around them, and it just makes our journey so much longer.
Really? Are they dangerous?
Yes, and another thing is, which is buggering us up at the moment too out there, is I don't drive a road train, but because the road trains are out there now, we haven't got anywhere near enough passing lanes now. Friday, like, it's behind a road train, there's up to 50 and 60 cars and caravans trying to get either way. It's a bloody joke.
Yeah, that is dangerous when that happens. People get impatient, don't they?
Yep.
Good on you, Smithy. Let's go to Hope Valley. Hello, Rock.
Hey, boys, how are you?
Yeah, good mate. Rock. What do you reckon?
Yeah, look. Generally, the caravan guys, I drive on the road a bit. I've been on the road for nearly 40 years. They're pretty good because they're experienced. But I'm worried about towing in general, people towing cars. And now with the new racetrack up at Caelan Bend, the amount of people that are going to be towing cars down that road. And they've got speed restrictions for trucks coming down the expressway there, the freeway.
Yep.
But I'm worried about these kids going up to do motor racing, drift racing and that, and they're going to be towing their cars home. I reckon there should be speed restrictions for them coming down there, because I come down at my 60 km in my truck, and you'll get a guy in a caravan or a guy towing a trailer, and he'll be coming down, and you know he's on the brakes all the way down, and it's only going to be a matter of time before something bad happens. So I think they should have a speed restriction, but it should be towing in general, especially with car trailers.
All right, might be a good suggestion, Rock.
All right, Rock, let's go to Onkaparinka. G'day, Tim.
Hey, boys, how we going?
Good, Timmy.
That's good. Yeah, I sort of agree with the last call. I drive a truck and I have a caravan.
people don't realise that you're next to 3 tonne pushing you down the road.
Yeah.
Your braking distances all changed, they're all different. They don't pull up as quick. And when people do get to an overtaking lane, they tend to speed up. If someone's behind you, just slow down, let them go past. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Especially with a truck driver, he's got somewhere he's got to be, that's his job. Generally, they're on channel 40. Get on there, call them around, let them go past him.
Yep.
He'll maintain 100. If you don't want to do 100, well, that's fine. But don't speed up when you get to an overtaking lane.
No, good suggestions, Tim. Roo, it just makes me think. I mean, people like you, and I take your word for it, you say, well, you know, you've grown up towing things, so you're good at it. People that aren't good at it, though, I just wonder if we should be doing a bit of training. Like, if I was to go away next weekend for the first time ever and pull a camper trailer, I'm allowed to do that, and I've got no experience whatsoever. Don't you reckon we should get a bit of training or, I don't know, have to pass something?
You'd want to go and practice somewhere first. Absolutely, Ditch. It'd be irresponsible not to.
Yeah. Nah, good chat that was. In a moment, Aruba. Speaking of driving around, Roo's doing a bit of extra work on the side just to pay for these 6 kids' school fees. He's in the Aruba. He's got 4 celebs in the back of the car. Now, we've got one right answer, Roo. Who is it?
That's right. It's Fiona O'Loughlin.
Right.
So all 5, you get 5,000. Any new 4. Correct answer? What?
No, 4, not 5. There's 4 in the back.
Yeah, okay. Any get all of them, though. You get $5,000.
Yep.
Any new correct answers, you get $500 cash.
Yep, give us a ring. No, sorry, we'll do it in a moment. Don't ring just yet. Sorry, I've gone off too quick there, got excited. We'll tell you when to ring, all right? But you could win $5,000. Ruined It's here on Triple M. Ruined It's on Triple M. Roo, over the last fortnight, we've been reading a lot about the Cove Cobras Football Club and the fact that they're going to be evicted from their club rooms down in the southern suburbs there. There was a meeting at the Marion Council last night, so we're keen to find out if there was a resolution or what exactly happened. Adrian Scull is the CEO of the Marion Council, and he joins us now. Adrian, good morning. Can I ask you first up, what was the background that led up to the decision by the Marion Council? I mean, from all of us sitting on the outside, there must have been some poor behaviour. There's no doubt about that.
There was a lot of poor behaviour. We did an investigation because we'd heard a lot of complaints about some of the attitudes and behaviours and the culture of the club down there. Council doesn't make decisions like this on a whim. We needed to get evidence. We conducted an investigation. We wrote to the Cobras on the 3rd of September, met with the SNFL. And the allegations were pretty bad. Intimidating behaviour, inappropriate language, sexual harassment, and a genuinely unwelcoming atmosphere within the club to the other clubs and to visitors. And we had to deal with it.
Adrian, I have heard a rumour, so whether you can verify this for us, but was security needed at the club at some stage or at some stages over the last few months?
Yeah, about the middle of the year, we our staff, what happened is that we took over the bar and the club. We put on staff, and those staff were harassed. These are hard words, but it's true. Didn't feel safe, and we had to put on in the evening a security guard just to ensure their safety. We've got a duty of care to our people, obviously.
How many warnings did they get before you made a decision to kick them out?
Yeah, they're plenty. They're actually claiming they didn't, but we met with the SNFL. We had regular meetings with the club. We put to them that, you know, we're putting on a security guard here because of attitudes and culture that needs to change. When we originally wrote to them on the 3rd of September, we gave them 2 weeks to come back to us and say, look, we want you to put up a plan to change this culture and to make this a welcoming community club. We didn't get sufficient confidence in the response that we've got to believe that this is going to happen. And so on the 24th of September, the council made a decision to not renew their licence.
Adrian, I've seen in some of the publicity, the women's football team from down there, for example, went public and said, we feel safe here and we haven't been harassed and we enjoy the environment. Am I right in saying that was other clubs within, because there are other sporting clubs that share that facility, aren't there?
Yeah, that's correct. We had a number of people who we interviewed, and now all of these people in their interview, they did that on the basis that their comments would be held in confidence.
Right.
So there's some contention at the moment that, you know, we're not providing the names and who said what and when. And the truth is, we've got to respect that confidentiality.
Sure.
But we had a number of people within the club and also from other members of the club to say that the culture is not good.
All right, Adrian, just finally, they came up with around 6,000 signatures in recent days supporting the club and saying, please save us and don't kick us out. There was a meeting at the council last night. Are you able to tell us, well, what happened? Was there a resolution last night?
Yeah, very quickly, we had a heartfelt deputation from Tony Kernahan, the club president, and I've got to say that his leadership has been great across this whole period. He's really put in a lot of passion and, you know, and all of his heart into trying to resolve this. We had two young players who did a deputation. One is a young 11-year-old called Tom Gill, whose birthday is today. He's 11 today. We received the petition for 6,600 people. Clearly, we heard the depth of community feeling and support for the culprits. And after that, council deliberated in confidence at length. And I can tell you that the mood in there was to fix this and to remedy this for the community. This is not something that we're happy with, but we're not happy as well with poor behaviour, and we cannot tolerate it. There was never going to be a decision last night, Chris. What happened is that we've got a procedural issue, because if you want to put in a rescission motion, which is to overturn the original council motion, which is on the 24th, you need to give 5 days. So we told the club, we can't do this for another 5 days. But what we may be doing is calling a general council meeting for next Tuesday. We don't have a meeting, but the discussion was that if we get a rescission motion from one of the councillors, we'll have a special meeting for next week, and we'll put pay to this and resolve it. But there's going to be conditions on that rescission motion. And the number one condition, obviously, is that you work with council, you work with other clubs, and in fact, the CEO of Glenelg Footy Club has said that they'll help, and to just change this culture, the culture in the club, to make it a new brand of leadership, if you like, but make it a different environment.
Adrian, thanks so much for joining us. Adrian Scull, the CEO of Marion Council. Roo, just on the surface there, I don't think he could be much fairer if he's saying that they're going to try and work with them and help them and get through this.
Let's have a listen to the Cove Footy Club, see if he thinks they were as bad as that.
All right, we'll talk to the Footy Club next. Ruined It's here on Triple M. If you've just joined us, last night there was a meeting at the Marion Council with the Cove Cobras Football Club, who about a fortnight ago, Roo, were told they were going to be evicted from their club rooms. They've had a lot of support, 6,000-odd signatories they were able to present last night. Let's find out what their side of the story is. The president of the Cove Cobras, Tony Kernahan, joins us. Tony, good morning.
Good morning, fellas. How are you?
Good, thank you. Tony, I want to say from the start that Adrian Scull has spoken in glowing terms of yourself. I actually spoke with him yesterday, and he said that you've done an outstanding job, and he said it again this morning on our program. Having said that, are the accusations from the council accurate? Are they true?
Yes, at this stage at the moment, what the football club has identified is that there are issues within our club, and we have to deal with allegations. So For me as the president to act and react and make decisions, the allegations need to come forward, and we need the facts to be able to make the calls. It's a difficult situation where we're dealing with the football club that now lives inside the community club run by the council. So we may say to a member of our club that your inappropriate behaviour is no longer tolerated here, you're no longer a member of the football club, can walk outside the community club and walk straight back in as the general public. So it makes it extremely difficult.
All right, having said that, I mean, that's a technicality, but Tony, can you, I mean, they have said things about behaviour within your club. Did these things happen?
If we're looking at 99% of our members, no, it doesn't. Is there 1% within our group that do inappropriate or behavioural issues? I have no doubt there is Dits and Roo, and we have to deal with those people. But to tarnish the whole club is the part that's upset everybody.
If you, Tony, if you do kick out, you know, someone who does the wrong thing, and you say they can come back in as a member of the community, then they can be dealt with by the member of the community as well. Instead, it will have no reflection on your football club. Isn't that the case?
Yeah. So, I mean, these are processes, Roo, that still need to be worked through and clarified, because they are now the licensees of the club. So it's a difficult situation. I want to work with the Marion council and ensuring that if it's inappropriate behaviour has been identified and proven, then we will remove, alongside with the council, this person from the community club altogether. Done. Gone.
Well, you can't do any more than that. There's no doubt. No. Tony, you've got a lot of juniors down at your football club, haven't you? How many have you got?
Oh, mate, with our minis and juniors, we're the second biggest club now in the Southern Footy League.
Wow, okay.
And our girls program is growing. We have probably enough girls now to fill two senior sides. We have an under-14 side that's just growing this year. We're looking for an under-16 side now. So not only have we grown that, but you'd be well aware that our senior girls have succeeded with back-to-back premierships.
Yep.
So our program's working, and they feel safe and comfortable there.
Well, I was going to say, if you got girls' sides, you got a heap of junior teams, surely you'd want a safe, happy family environment for your football club or sporting club anyway, Tony.
Yeah, absolutely, Ruin. Myself and the committee and the majority of our members and public support are building towards that. We're a club that's building. We're bursting at the seams in a community club that creates its own teething problems with six affiliated clubs. We can't all fit there. It's just we're at a point now, if you, and probably with your example, Roo, with 400 kids you got at your house, there's teething problems and how to settle them down.
Plenty of behavioural issues at our joint too, Tony, I can tell you.
And look, in all seriousness though, I have to thank the Marion Council because they are being fair with us at the minute by allowing us to speak again last night. And we are speaking from the heart. We are a very proud club that wants to grow and be a part of the Hallett Cove Community Club. I've had support from a number of the other affiliated clubs that are there. So help us work with us. And I've got the enlistments of the Glen Elg CEO who's going to come in and help. He's worked a lot with community football clubs that have been involved with within community clubs themselves. So I've got his guidance next Tuesday. The SNFL are helping me. I've identified this, and we could be better, and we want to be better. And I have no doubt if we can follow this path and the Marion Council give us opportunity, we'll be even a better club and a stronger club.
Well, well spoken, Tony. And as I'll say it again, the council has been very praiseworthy of your work individually and what you're trying to do. So it sounds as though a resolution can arise out of this, and hopefully next week. Well done there, Tony Kernahan, the president of the Cove Cobras Football Club.
I reckon they're going to have a happy ending there.
Yep, sounds like it. So good common sense will prevail. Ruined it's on Triple M. Ruined it's here on Triple M on this Wednesday morning. Ru, I was driving home last night listening to my favourite show on radio.
Kennedy Malloy.
And I love, they've got a new segment, which is How Dare You. So people ringing and sort of talk about, I guess, things that they're unhappy with, or how could someone possibly do this in their life.
Yep.
And yesterday there was a caller. Well, it's pretty self-explanatory. Have a listen.
How dare you?
So about 6 months ago, I was using a veggie slicer. Mm. Very dangerous. Didn't use the guard. Sliced about 10 mil of my thumb. So bagged it up, took it into the hospital, went through triage. Nurse took my digit from me. The doctor slash surgeon came out to have a look, asked where the top was, told him the nurse had it, and he came back and told me that she had thrown it in the bin and they couldn't find it.
How dare you?
What?
Thrown it in the bin.
Threw it in the bin.
Couldn't find it. Now, Ru,
that's a centimetre of a thumb, by the way. Yeah. You know, like, that's a reasonable amount. It's a little chunk.
Yeah. How can you do that? Look, you know, to all of our hospital staff out there, the nurses, the doctors, they do a brilliant job. They really do. But I guess there is the odd mistake made along the way.
The old thumb in the bin.
Yeah.
Hey, we've both had heaps of operations, Dits. And for probably the last half of my career, when you'd go in for an operation, they'd either shave your ankle or shave your knee, and they'd put the texture, you know, permanent texture around it with an arrow pointing to the knee to make sure that they'd got the right leg or the right ankle or the right elbow.
It doesn't give you confidence when you, and as I said, we're dealing with clever people here, surgeons, and you're laying on the bed thinking, why are they writing a big arrow pointing to my left knee here? What's going on?
It's funny. Sometimes when you have operations, I know this will sound weird if you think, well, it's bad enough to have an operation, but you have to remember which one's your sore knee. And you're And so I can imagine a doctor coming in when you're already had your drugs to knock you out, that they could get you, you know, operate on the wrong knee or whatever. So there must be some horror stories out there for hospital visits gone wrong, Dits, I would have thought, whether you've thrown your thumb in the bin or whether you've had the wrong knee operated on or they've left a instrument inside your stomach or something. I don't know. 1-333-53. Give us a buzz. Tell us your medical history. Tell us if something's gone wrong at the doctors or the hospital. Give us a call. 1-333-53.
Hospital stuff up through.
Let's go to the Barossa Valley. G'day, Andy.
Hi, how are you?
What's happened with you?
Well, I had a car accident. First of all, I'd like to say thank you to Leon Biner on 5AA.
Oh, right.
The ABC in Streaky Bay, he was. And an Irish doctor that actually saved my leg. So I'm very thankful that I still have a leg.
Oh, great.
Yeah, but I had a car accident up near Tunkillo.
Yep.
And I was on antidepressants, and that was not my doctor's fault that I flipped out because I didn't go back to see him because I moved house.
Right.
And, I flew across a paddock in my Tirana, which was my project car for my son and I, and it only lasted a week. Yeah, but I flew across a paddock and flew across a road and landed in the next paddock, or the car did. I jumped, I think. I'm not 100% sure, but I've had flashbacks, but I had wings.
How's this a hospital stuff up? Sounds like you stuff, though. How's this a hospital stuff up, though?
Well, because, I had orthopedics.
Right.
And I had plastic surgery.
Right.
And the whole hospital could not get themselves organised to get me in. And I had, like, all muck coming out of me. I was poison.
Oh, God. All right. Sounds like you went through a fair bit. 7:53, Ruined. It's here on Triple M. You did ask for a medical history, Roo, and we got it. More calls in just a moment. 1-333-53. Ruined. It's here on Triple M, Roo, for our best caller. Would you believe we've got a double to go and see Kiss on the End of the Road World Tour. And so far, Andy from the Barossa, she's leading. All right? So she's a chance. No, she's a chance. Let's go to Kangarilla and talk to Donna. Good morning, Donna.
Sorry, I got the giggles. Good morning. How are you?
Good, Donna.
So, you know how in your early 20s you're 10 foot tall and bulletproof?
Yep.
And I'd had horses for about a decade and was down. We had a birthday celebration, had a few quiet scotches, and decided to go out for a ride. Was feeling a bit, was feeling, don't do this at home, try this at home, kids.
No.
Was feeling a bit adventurous, jumped this massive log, and my mare just went, nah, forget it, hit the skids. I ended up in between with my face in between her ears, and and I'd hit my foot on the jump on the way through, and I thought, that hurt. Anyway, fast forward to about 11 o'clock at night, still can't get my boot off, thinking this is not going to be good. So my sister took me to hospital, and I was feeling fairly hungoverish, and the doctor walked in after 4 hours of waiting, knelt down to my sister and said, right, now, it's your left foot we're looking at here, isn't it?
Oh, no.
You know, it's me and it's my right foot, mate.
Hidden on the grog as well.
That's what I thought. It was hilarious. Absolutely hilarious.
All right. Thanks, Donna. I think I'm going to enjoy this story. It's about a colonoscopy. Hello, Ray at Glenelg East.
Yeah, how you going?
Good. What happened to you, Ray?
It's a couple of years ago now. I'm at that age where every couple of years you have to go in and they stick the camera up the backside and have a look around, make sure everything's all right.
I've probably seen you there.
What's it like? Does that hurt? Yeah. Does it hurt, right?
Well, no, it
not
doesn't
at first.
Hurt.
But get used to it.
I've had probably a few over the years now. I'm almost 70.
Well, you're not enjoying it now, are you?
Not really, Roo. No, not really. It's a case of one of those things you have to do when you get a bit older.
They put you under, don't they, Ray?
Well, they sort of do it. So it's not a full anaesthetic. It's just sort of a part one. But
Ray didn't worry about it anymore.
but you're still not supposed to know what's going on. But anyway, it was just not long after the new row had opened, and nobody seemed to know what they were doing. It was just people running everywhere. And,
right. With a colonoscopy, no one knew what they were doing. Yeah.
Well, and anyway, when my turn came, I was about probably 10 on the list, and I was aware of everything they were doing.
Not enough anaesthetic.
It wasn't painful, but I just knew that what they were doing, and it's not real good when you've got cameras up your bum.
Nah, that's right. All right.
It's like things up his bum, don't you? Yes.
Yeah. Oh, bloody hell. Right, let's go to Simon now. Alice the Wag's put up here, Malalala. It's actually just Malala, Alice. So anyway, let's go to Simon. Good morning, Simon.
G'day, guys. How you going?
Yeah, good, Simon.
Yeah, so when I was younger, I came off my bike and broke my arm, and I bent it pretty bad. So they had to put a metal pin all the way down my inside my bone. So right. I'd had the operation. At the time, it was actually the largest metal pin they'd ever put in a kid's arm. It was pretty much the size of my entire arm. I still kept
it. Was a world record.
But then, it was a good one. My mum never let me live that one down. Right. But anyways, we're in the hospital a couple of days later still because I was recovering. They were making sure everything had gone good. And a trainee nurse had come in. And she'd come in and told me and my mum that they were going to remove the stitches. And both me and my mum were saying to her, you know, no. I just had the operation only, you know, a couple of days prior. And the stitches were going to be in for at least 2 weeks. Yeah. And she's like, no, it's on my chart. I've got to cut them off. So at this point, my mum has gone to go tell the other nurse. She's cut two of the five stitches. It's peeled and burst straight open. And I've been able to look straight down into my arm, see the muscle and the bone where they'd operated on. At this point in time, that newbie nurse half faints and passes out from the blood.
So my mum comes...
Oh, yeah, she did. My mum comes running in. She's the same. She starts to half vomit and get a bit sick.
Right, now we need another doctor, right?
Yeah, I'll never forget the major head nurse lady. She's come in, calm as a cucumber. She's like, oh, here you go, love. Right. And literally put two of those stitch band-aid things on me and held it together while the other two are on the floor both trying to recover.
Thanks, Simon from Malalala. Righto. Gee, big field there, Roo, to send someone off to kiss.
Lucky she was calm as a cucumber.
Hell. I need to lie down myself after listening to those.
Give it to Simon. Send him off to kiss.
Right. Okay, Simon, you're off to go and see Kiss.
Although Ray went through a fair bit.
He did. Don't people love talking about their ailments, Roo? I think we should start doing a medical program. It'd be far more interesting. Anyway, in a moment, your chance.
I shoved something up my bum.
In a moment, your chance to win $5,000 with Ruba. Stay with us, Ruined It's on Triple M. 8:17, Ruined It's here on Triple M.
Triple M. Roll up your chinos, put wax in your hair, smash some avocado and grab a protein shake. It's time for the Metros on Ruined It's for Breakfast.
The boys are in. Flack, Josh from our promotions department and Fabio. How are you, boys?
Good.
Morning.
Well. Yeah, good. Hey, first topic that caught our interest this morning is Alice the Wag was telling us earlier on that all of the bathers coming up for summer is you've just got your bum cheeks hanging out. You cannot find bathers, apparently, to cover up at all. And apparently the girls' bikinis are the same. Girls' bikinis. No. But
Come on,
now, Flake, I'll go to you first. Seriously. They're saying that when we just had those hot days recently, there were girls walking around Glenelg with their absolute buttocks hanging out. Now, surely, I know on the surface you go, oh, that's exciting, but do we really want to see that or not?
Is that even a question?
Come on. Oh, what about your questioning, Dick?
No, seriously.
Oh, do we really want to see that?
I reckon girls' bikinis look fantastic. Do you really, really just need to see, like, no back on their bikinis and just their bum hanging out?
Yes. Right. Absolutely. And where is it, Alice? Glenelg? Yeah, I know where I am this weekend. Look, if that's what they want to wear, I've always been, if you've got it, flaunt it. If I was a ripped dude with a six-pack, I would be sitting here with no shirt. If I was Todd, if I was Fabio, I wouldn't even wear a shirt to work.
Yeah, he doesn't.
You know what I mean?
He's always got his rig
so
out.
So if that's what you want to wear, go for it. For me, I'm the guy who wears the rashy top and the shorts because I'll burn, guys.
Yeah, all right. Righto, Josh.
I think, like you said, in theory, it's a good idea, but
I've been like overseas just recently, and you see like parents taking photos of their kids in these sort of like bikinis as well. So I think it's a bit odd if, yeah, you see something like that. But yeah, I don't know. I'm a bit mixed by it. The idea of it is good, but like on Instagram you see it, but then when you see them with their family and then families like right near them as well wearing that sort of
but
stuff.
But what about walking down Jetty Road shopping at, you know, they've been on the beach. So on the, what about, surely it's good on the beach, but do you really want to be walking up and down Jetty Road looking
with your
like
bum
that?
Out.
Yes.
All right, Fabio.
Yeah, obviously being a lad, I can probably appreciate it, but there is the other side too. Over the years, I've felt that the more exposed a woman gets, or even men get, it's being more accepted. So I can't see what's going to happen in the future. That's what I'm looking to now.
Yeah, they're not wearing much now, are they?
Well, no.
No.
What's going to be acceptable in 10 years from now? Yeah.
I can't wait in the future.
Righto, what's your topic here, Roo, about black tie?
Well, the Crows had their best and fairest on last Thursday night, and the captain of the club, Rory Sloan, rocks up with a blue suit and a light blue tie to a black tie function. Now, over the years, I mean, probably 20 years ago, Ditz, 30 years ago, it was strictly a bow tie.
Yeah.
And then I think it did relax to maybe a black, normal tie, but not a blue suit, surely. That's not acceptable.
We've even got people now rocking up with no tie. I mean, people, the rules have relaxed so much.
You can't have no tie to a black tie function.
I wouldn't have thought. I think there's still something great about a formal event and fellas getting dressed up and, wearing the proper attire. Flack, what do you think?
Sorry, boys. Black tie's dead.
Dead?
Yep, it's gone. So if Rory Sloan wants to wear a blue suit, he can. I don't own a black suit. I never owned one.
We all used to hire them.
Yeah, I could do that, but I've never worn a bow tie either. I look stupid in a bow tie, and I would go a tie or no tie. I don't think you need to dress up to the nines anymore. I think it's
so
changed.
Rules are out the window. You don't care about conforming with the rules.
Disrespectful, Flack.
Mm. Well, we already know I am. So
Gee. Righto. Josh?
I think times have changed as well. I reckon people should be able to wear what they want, like grey suits, whatever.
What do you mean wear what you want?
Well, girls can wear whatever they want, can't they? They can wear, why don't they have to wear like a black dress?
They call it a lounge suit function if you're allowed to wear a suit.
I think has to be formal, but you can wear, I think there's other shades that you can wear. You can wear grey. Like, I think there's people at the Brownlow wearing a white suit, weren't they? White and black pants.
Yeah, right. White's acceptable.
If you relaxed at that a little bit like that, let's say it is the Brownlow, is it acceptable to wear just no tie at all?
Mm-hmm.
No.
Oh, come on, you guys.
There's got to be some rules.
Yeah, there's got to be some rules, but I think black tie's a bit dead now. Like, I didn't have a black suit either. I had to buy one as well, so I think it's a bit done.
Fabio?
Bit on both sides, really. Again, same situation. What's going to happen in the future if everyone's accepted with different colours? We're going to have the rainbow sitting there, you know?
Yeah.
That's going to be full on. And then everyone will just go back to black because that's different. So, yeah.
It'll come the full cycle.
Yeah.
Fabio, you've made sense.
Disrespectful, you metros.
That's the future, Roo.
No, yeah, disrespectful. Get out of here.
Thanks, metros.
Roo and Dibs, top three things you need to know.
Making news, Roo. Now, we've heard a couple of more senior citizens, respected citizens in our community, say this in recent times about the fact that we've gone too far with political correctness and they're over it and they're just going to say exactly what they think. And if it offends people, too bad, because you're allowed to switch off or change channels or do what you like if you don't like it. So,
who are you referring
to? Well, the latest, and I'm really surprised at this, but I'm rapt, is Ida Buttrose is now the chairperson of the ABC in this country, and she had this to say.
We don't talk to each other the way we used to. Even in the workplace, the way men and women used to talk to one another, which was quite fun, I think, doesn't exist today. I think Australians are essentially good-humoured people and we like to josh each other in the workplace and we should be able to do that without anyone being offended or sensitive about it. We're far too sensitive.
Yep, I agree with her. And she went on to say the word, she used the word larrikin. She said, where's our larrikin spirit gone? And I agree with her.
She grew up in the workplace under Kerry Packer.
Yeah,
so
she would have heard some things.
There would have been a great environment there most of the time, probably. Maybe overstepped the mark a few times, who knows. But
does it ruin your life? You just get on with it, don't you?
Well, not if people care and they're being genuine and they're trying to have fun and not insulting people directly. I think it's fine. But yes, Ditz, that's where it's at. Hey, the numbers have come out for television audiences for the AFL and NRL grand finals, and very alarming numbers, especially for the AFL. They only averaged 2.19 million viewers, which was 20% down on the previous year. Now, this is after the home and away season being 7% up. So,
well, did people just turn off because it was a garbage game? It wasn't. Yeah, it wasn't a very good game, was it?
No, and that, I think that might be it. Plus the fact of GWS being in there, and they've got hardly any supporters. So I think when Sydney have played in a grand final, they have 700,000 Sydney people on their own, and you know, obviously if the Eagles are in it, or you know, an Adelaide side, you know, that'd be a long time ago. But anyway, they'd bring a heap more people to the audience. Yep. So bad numbers there. And NRL under 2 million for the first time for a very, very long time.
Yeah.
And that was actually a good game, Dit. So
it was, yeah.
That wasn't good. Hey, this is an interesting one. I haven't heard of someone get arrested for this crime, Dit, but a man has been arrested for breaking into homes and tickling people's bums while they're asleep.
Excuse me?
He's been done for bum tickling.
No,
he's a bum tickler.
Making this up.
No, this is fair dinkum.
They didn't want to steal anything, didn't take their money or their watch or anything.
No, just tickled their bums. His name's Ben. Ben the bum tickler,
Bend
I'm
going to
call him. And he would just break into the house at night, creep up to the bed,
oh, no,
and then just start tickling the bums. And this is true. And to make it worse, yeah, you know who he tickled mainly?
Who?
Blokes. Ben the bloke tickler's bum. Yeah,
no.
He liked tickling blokes' bums. So he's been done and currently held in prison, thank God. So the bum tickler's been caught.
Oh, we need to interview him.
Do you know what he actually did, how he got caught?
How?
He tickled a copper's bum.
Right.
So he tickled one too many bums. Anyway, Benny the bum tickler, he's been locked up.
All right. Can we get
He might be tickling a couple inside.
I'm sure he will be. That's the place for him. Sure. Hey, smorgasbord. Yeah. Blokes everywhere. Anyway, that's what's making news. Ruined It's on Triple M. It was hot in Flack's lounge room last night. He was watching Love Island. Flack, good morning.
Hello, boys.
Good. Tell us all about this brand new show.
Now, I know you love new shows that have a bit of drama. Well, Love Island is like Big Brother on steroids.
Right.
Really?
Yeah, which is funny because most of the blokes on the show, I reckon, are on steroids. basically, singles couple up. If they survive some partner swapping and some public votes, they'll win 50 grand.
50 grand.
50 grand. But drama,
is it worth it?
Well, and that's the thing. Drama's not usually far away.
It's just a bit odd. Like, it's just making some odd things. You know, you weren't this, like, odd when I met you, you know.
When you met 24 hours ago. Like, I don't get all this drama so early on. So, for anyone that hasn't seen it, it's Victoria's Secret Runway meets Dumb and Dumber. The guys are tall, really, really, really ridiculously good looking, but a bit dumb.
Right.
Think of Port Adelaide's leadership group.
Oh, flat.
That was a joke.
Was a low
it was
blow.
A joke. Charlie
Come
Dixon,
on.
Don't
that
kill me.
That was a low blow.
I
was
Charlie Dixon.
He's
going to
eat you next time.
Charlie actually scares me.
You get caught in his beard.
For some reason, they can't figure out how to wear a shirt. Or if they do, they leave the top four buttons open.
Yeah. That's standard procedure.
Is it?
Yeah.
Here's the intruder, the big good-looking Owen, who only wears two buttons done up.
My heart's saying two girls. My head's saying five.
What?
Yeah, mate, we've all thought that before, haven't we? He was meant to hook up with one last night, and he was thinking, oh, do I take two or do I take five?
What? So everyone's single. And you just walk around and keep hooking up.
And they couple up, but you can swap partners.
Right. What sort of garbage is this?
And look, we get onto the girls. The girls are amazing. Very attractive. They're clearly keeping Australia's lip filler clinics in business.
Right.
Oh, no.
They make our Alice the Wag look like Stephen Hawking.
What?
What do you mean by
that? So the line is that?
Well, here's proof.
He's so, like, masculine. Is that the right word? Masculine, yeah. He's so, like, masculine and, like, manly.
Oh, my God, really?
I don't know.
That's the whole show.
Can you give us a like count? How many times did I say like in the whole series?
I reckon 50 last night.
50?
Oh, like about 50. but the final word goes to Jessie, and this is just showing you that maybe there's not too much intelligence there. She explains how people are different using chocolate.
there's a lot of things that are different about me and Cartier. You know, it's kind of like, do you like white chocolate or do you like milk chocolate? Like, they're both good, but they're both completely different.
Oh, no. Yeah.
Right. Thanks, Jesse. Thanks, well, if we're going to stick with that, if that's the case, you boys are fruit and nut.
Righto, Flack. Thank you.
Thank you, boys.
That's Love Island right there. Ruined It's on Triple M.
Show that was. The show that was. You've already missed this on Triple M's Ruined It's, but don't worry, you can catch up on the Triple M app when the show's finished.
There was a meeting down at the Marion Council last night, Roo.
Yes, and we had one of the councillors, Adrian Scullon, to tell us all about it.
But what we may be doing is calling a general council meeting for next Tuesday. We don't have a meeting, but the discussion was that if we get a rescission motion from one of the councillors, we'll have a special meeting for next week and we'll put pay to this and resolve it.
Now, he's the CEO of the council, and what he said was this is with the Cove Cobras Football Club, who they met with last night, and Adrian, I think, is trying to do the right thing, and he's saying that, as you just heard, within a week they hope to resolve it and that Cove won't be getting kicked out of their club rooms.
Yeah, you would have hoped they could have got to this point well before all the public got hold of it, Dits, but that's what happens sometimes. Anyway, let's hope it's a happy ending there. We took some phone calls on hospital stuff-ups as well.
I come off my bike and broke my arm, so they had to put a metal pin inside my bone. In the hospital, a couple of days later, the trainee nurse had come in and told me and my mum that they were going to remove the stitches. And both me and my mum were saying to her, you know, no. I just had the operation only, you know, a couple of days prior. She's cut two of the five stitches. It's peeled and burst straight open. At this point in time, that newbie nurse half faints and passes out from the blood. And my mum comes running in. She starts to half vomit and get a bit sick.
Right, now we need another doctor.
The major head nurse lady, she's harm as a cucumber. She's like, oh, here you go, love. Right. And literally put two of those stitch band-aid things on me and held it together while the other two are on the floor both trying to recover.
Now, Roo, do you recognise his voice, Simon?
No.
Go back a few years. He was that kid on that ad. He said, and the head went that way, and the guts went that way. And then that was him when he was a young kid.
Just grown up a little bit now.
He has. Hey, that's all we got time for today, Roo.
Yeah, we'll be back tomorrow. Limo will join us for a laugh. We've got the Angels, plus we've got Ruba, where you can win $5,000 by guessing the four celebrities in the back of my Uber. Now, tomorrow at 7 o'clock, we are going to give away our first clue as well, Dits. And I think we need it.
See you tomorrow, everybody.
Yeah, catch you later, everybody.